We're going to jump into this morning, and if you can put that first slide up there, Mike, of the birthday. Our birthday is coming up here in about a few more weeks, and so if you've never been aware that we are a brand new church plant, we celebrate our six-year birthday in a few more weeks. 6 years. Here's how's crazy about that. I have Time Hop on my phone that shows me what I was doing, like, you know what I'm saying, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. 6 years ago, right now, we were having pre-launch services. Like, I have a picture on my phone right now, it showed up this morning, of my nephews, Jacob and Alex, and Ben, and a few of us setting up the stage, praying for people who are not part of our church yet. How crazy is that? We're part of this journey, so we've been here for 6 years, and so on our birthday, we like to kind of do a vision, but also celebration morning. So everybody, hopefully you got one of these. And so I'm going to encourage you, I print off lots of these, and I'll print off more. Take these. If you got one, that's great. But one's for you. Grab more and hand them out and give them out, because it's going to be a fun morning. We have some videos. We're going to share some stories. We got some videos from people in our community we're going to show, and then we're going to jump into it. But a couple of fun things. Number one is this. The Apple Orchard has told me officially, can I share this? This is how awesome this is. Sunday after church, Chris comes up and goes, hey, you guys usually have cupcakes for your birthday service. And I said, yeah. He goes, how do you feel about apple cider donuts? We'll turn the machine on. And I said, what? I said, that's like happy birthday to Jarvis right there. Like, that is like, and so they're turning on the machines just for us for our birthday that Sunday morning. So fresh donuts coming that Sunday morning. The other thing, yeah, so thanks for you guys. The other thing, my wife and I talked about this a couple of while ago. Then my mom saw an article about this, and I said, I love this idea. And so we've been wanting to do more with ministries and partnerships in town. And one of them is Valley Outreach. And Valley Outreach does a lot of stuff with helping people who need food and supplies and baby stuff. And so at Valley Outreach, we're going to do a special project with them that morning. And here's how it works. For every new person that comes to our church that morning and fills out a card, we're going to donate supplies for every person to Valley Outreach. And so we're still trying to figure out what it is. It could be diapers. It might be milk. We don't know yet. But for every new person that comes, we're going to give back to Valley Outreach. And not just everybody that comes, for everybody that checks in on social media and says, I'm at Watermark Church that Sunday morning, we're going to give that to Valley Outreach. And so hopefully we're going to flood Valley Outreach with stuff. So just by showing up, you can give your donating to Valley Outreach, which is really cool. So, but just take these and invite, and that would be good. But if you can all stand up this morning, and let's get into Word. I just want to say one acknowledgement before we move on, because a special moment. Joel's with us this morning. Joel, some of you know the story, some of you don't, but Joel's with us and had to go back in prison since the beginning of October. And there was a court case hearing on Tuesday. And literally, I might share even in my source a little bit about it, but how God just came through. And so it's good to have you guys. And it's amazing to see God do that. So there's a verse on the screen, Daniel 10:12. I'm actually kind of, I'll be honest with you, I'm a little sad this morning because I've loved this Daniel. Hopefully you're with me. And I love it that people are jumping in the Word and reading Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Daniel and just going through this. And this week and next week we end this series. We land the airplane of Daniel. And so hopefully you're getting some out of it. But today is pretty, let's just read this, the text. Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding, to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I've come in response to them. It's amazing because one of the things I open up every week and saying is, literally, Judah, the Israel nation, was taken over by Babylon. Babylon became the supreme power and took over this area. They took over power. They just took over, and God let this thing take over. And so you have the Israelites had three deportations. So in that culture, what happened is back in the day, when somebody took you over, they would take your people as slaves. And so they're taking the Israelites into Babylon and using them as slaves and using them, you know what I'm saying? And so you have this going on. And in the first wave of people, deportation from Judah to Babylon, you have people like the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you have Daniel, and you have a prophet named Ezekiel, who is actually now actually given words, prophetic words, from exile in Babylon. Then the next deportation, you have some more officials, and you have some more people coming over. And then in the last deportation, you have some more people coming over, the rest of the people, except for the poorest of the poor, they left in Judah to take care of the land. And in doing that, they left Jeremiah there, the prophet Jeremiah. And because they said, you guys stay there, we don't need you over here. So you have all these people, I want you to hear me out. They had all these people that were sitting in waves, ripping away from their families, ripping away from their houses, that are now in exile as slaves and been taken over these things. And through these last few weeks, I've been talking about how to thrive in Babylon. So you have Daniel and his friends who are young teenagers learn how to thrive. And you got these, they resolved in their heart to serve the Lord. They were tempted to go with the king, but they didn't bow down. They were thrown, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego last week, we talked about they were thrown in the fire. All these things were happening, but they didn't give in. And along the way, not only did they not give in, but God came through, and they learned to thrive in Babylon because the king was given the positions of authority. How crazy is that? Like, they were helping heal the nation from the inside. And so you have this going on, and then you get to this place of thinking, how is this working out now? And one of the weeks I talked about, we got to bloom where we're planted. Where has God put you? And that's what Jeremiah was telling the Israelites. You may not go back for a while, but make it a nation within exile. Make it great. Have kids, have farms. Do great things there because God has you there for a season. And then what begins to happen is, the part we're going to talk about today, I'm going to recap next week a little bit. But then you have Nebuchadnezzar no longer in reign, and a guy named Darius takes it over. And at this point, you have the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a position of authority someplace else, and Daniel is actually with Darius, the new king. So this is where we want to start, and so let's pray and give God this morning. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for all the ways that you have rescued us, delivered us, worked on our hearts. And we, Lord, we just pray, we surrender this to you. We surrender our hearts. We surrender, Lord, our thoughts to you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for this moment. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for, Lord, that you save us in spite of ourselves. We thank you for this morning in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hey, before you sit down, you can turn to someone saying, aren't you excited for those donuts? And then you can grab a seat. So guys, make sure you grab these sheets on the way out, invite, and but I just want to jump into this. And so here you have this new king. Daniel's in a position of authority, and it's amazing because last week we learned in the fire that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in a different province, but because they stood in the fire and the fourth person showed up, and we talked about all this, they gave him a new position. But then you just have Daniel from the inside thriving in the kingdom. It's crazy. He is not one of them, but God is, because of different things of interpretations and different things, he is rising. And then Darius takes over. And it says in scripture that Darius appointed these things called satraps. Everybody say that with me, satraps. Yeah, it's a really weird word that we don't use today, which means like almost like governors. That in different areas of the province that they put these satraps in charge. And Darius actually puts out, as he's building this kingdom, he puts out as organizing plan, he actually puts out 120 of these satraps in charge of all these different divisions and regions. And what's cool about it, at that moment, Darius says, I can't control all these, oversee all these 120. So he said, I'm going to appoint three other people, administrators, to be over these 120 satraps. And so one of the people that he appoints over these satraps, who is in charge of each province, is Daniel. How crazy is that? He literally puts Daniel in the midst. This is a guy who was ripped from his home in Judah, who is now in exile, who was there as a teenager, who is literally rising in the ranks because of his character, because of his honesty, because of his trust. And so he's now overseeing these. And so what begins to happen is we think, oh, he's an overnight success story. But really, he's not. since Daniel 1, he's just been like faithful to the Lord and just stepping. It's been hard. This is not just overnight. This is many years of laying platforms and being where he's at and making the best where he's at. So then you get to this point where he's one of three guys in charge of 120. The other two guys in position begin to feel this jealousy because they start realizing that even though Darius is not serving the God that Daniel serves, Darius has a little bit more trust to Daniel than these other guys. And he's not one of them. So jealousy begins to burn in these two other administrators. It begins to burn, and they start thinking, like, what's up with this guy? He shouldn't even be here. Daniel shouldn't even be in our ranks. He's not like us. He shouldn't be here. And so then we get the verse, Daniel 6, 4 through 5. It'll be up on the screen. So it says, at this, the administrators, which is like Daniel's two guys, and the satraps, tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs. Think about this. Here's what begins to happen. They were literally trying to find reasons to rip Daniel down. They're like, if we can't destroy him as far as be better than him, then we're going to rip him down. Don't we? You know what I'm saying? And this is what happens. We just feel like if I can tear somebody else down, they're trying to rip this guy down. They're trying to find something against him. But they said they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt or negligent. Think about that. Wow. Don't you just read that and go, that is awesome that they couldn't find anything to come against Daniel with. I mean, live a life that people can't like find fault in that. Not that you're perfect, but that you're accountable, that you're disciplined. And so they tried hard to find something wrong in Daniel, and they knew they couldn't. So here's a phrase that you're going to hear me say. So the satraps set traps. Isn't that funny? Play on words, you like that? Yeah, up here. So then in Daniel 6, 6 through 9, here's their trap they begin to set. So these administrators and satraps, it's not just administrators, it's the people he was governing didn't like him. So there's this coup going on against Daniel. Went as a group to the king and said, may King Darius live forever. You hear what is going on there? They go to him saying, may King Darius live forever. One, it's honoring, but two, it's kind of a buttering up. They're saying, hey, we're going to come talk to you. It's like my kids going to my wife and saying, you're the most beautiful mom in the entire world. Can I have a cookie? Right? I mean, they're speaking truth, which is truth. You know, but, and it says, may the King Darius live forever. The royal ministers, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown in the lion's den. One, this is almost deja vu, because this is what the trick was that Nebuchadnezzar, in the very beginning, was saying, anybody doesn't bow down to you, we're going to rip into pieces, right? So then we come to Darius, and out of flattery, they said, hey, let's make a decree. It wasn't because they thought this was a good idea. This whole thing was set up as satraps for a trap to get, honestly, to get Daniel to stumble here. They're trying to find a point to say, if we can trap him and get him out, we win. So they said, Darius, for the next 30 days, if anybody worships anything and bows down to anything else besides you, they're going to be thrown in a lion's den. And he's like, that's kind of nice. That's a good idea because I am awesome, right? That's pretty much what he's saying. He's saying, I like this idea. And so then he goes on to say, verse 8, now your majesty issued the decree and put it into writing that it cannot be altered in accordance to with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. And once they put this decree in writing and became official, you can't go back on it. There wasn't a grace. There wasn't, and they knew that. And I love this. So for the next 30 days, you have this going on. Then this is the part I love. Daniel's response. Hear this out. So Daniel hears this. Daniel knows that there's a decree because he's the one who has to enforce it. He's one of the guys in charge of this. So he hears this. So in Daniel 6:10, Now, when Daniel learned that the decree has been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he'd done before. Love that. Anybody else just love hearing that? This is who he was. He resolved. He said, I'm not going to listen to this. This might be a decree, but I'm not going to listen to this. He did this. But when some of you read this, part of you, and I know this is not you guys, because in our church, everybody's perfect. I'm just kidding. But don't you just feel like, yeah, defiance. Some of you are like, Daniel's being defiant. He knows he doesn't want to do this, so he's going to go home. He says they can't pray. He's going to go home and pray. He's going to be defiant. He's going to stand up for this. He's going to do what he thinks is right. He's going to stand against the government. He's going to stand against this. He's going to do this. But can I just pray? We want to celebrate the defiance, but can I be honest with you? It wasn't defiance. He didn't pray out of defiance. He prayed because that's what he did every day. What he just described here, that he went, opened up his windows to Jerusalem and prayed 3 times a day, it wasn't defiance, it was discipline. He's just saying, listen, I'm not going to go pray out of defiance. I'm going to go pray because that's my God and that's just what I do. Sometimes, I'm telling you, some people come push. When push comes to shove, we like bow up our neck, and once we feel push, we're going to push back, which is, listen, I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just saying, but sometimes it's not really an act of defiance. We just need to be disciplined. Because he didn't go out of his nature. He continued his discipline. He didn't go up there as a defiant beast and pray, God, smite them, kill them. He just says, listen, I'm going to do what I always do. I'm just going to go trust the Lord and pray and just seek him. That's what I do. How awesome is that? He didn't raise his fist to the Lord and saying, how dare you let them do this? How you dare you let this happen? He just said, listen, well, I trusted you yesterday. I'm going to trust you today. So he goes up there and prays. And it's amazing because it's not the attitude of saying, I'll show them. Because listen, am I the only one who has this mentality sometimes? Like, I'll show you. I'll show you. Is that just me? Anybody else? No. People are shaking their head. No. I love that. But listen, if you have this attitude like, I'll show you. But it's almost like Daniel didn't have this attitude of saying, I'll show you. But Daniel had this attitude of, I'll go see my God. Not that I'll go show you, but I'll go see my God. And I love this because in our praying helps us stand strong. My mentor many years ago, Calvin Olson, wrote in my Bible one time, and I wish I still had this Bible. I don't even know where it's at. He wrote in my Bible. This is what he wrote down. He says, a person who is intimate with God will not be intimidated by man. I love that. A person who is intimate with God will not be intimidated by man, because he's literally saying, listen, you can stand tall because you kneeled down. Daniel stood tall because he daily knelt before the Lord. He daily knelt before God. He could stand tall. So he goes back and prays. And of course, you know what happens? You have these satraps and governors continually watching. And at that time, there was no video cameras, of course. There was no, like, surveillance. So these guys are pretty much just watching his window because they know he's going to open up his window. You know why? Because he does it every day. And he prays to Jerusalem. So just waiting for him to open up his window and see him start praying. So he opens up his window, begins to pray. And right then, they all see it. And they all report back to the king. Here's what they say. Daniel 6, 13 through 16. Then they go and say to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you. Your majesty ordered the decree that you put in writing. He still prays 3 times a day. And when the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Now, this is different than Nebuchadnezzar. Darius is literally putting Daniel in positions of authority. He's not believing the same God, but he literally, you can tell here, he actually likes Daniel. He actually has his heart. It says that he was distressed, not because Daniel was not worshiping him. He was distressed because Daniel is in trouble. It says all day he was trying to figure out reasons to save him, trying to figure out ways. Then the men went to, as a group, to the king Darius and said, "Remember, your majesty, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him in the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, I love this. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." Even he knew, may the God you serve continually, not one time, not just on Sundays, continually save you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation may not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without the entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. If you're a king, it was all through the night. Then people would come and play music, and he said, I'm going to fast from all that tonight, because his heart was so distressed that his friend, his person, Daniel, was in the lion's den, and he couldn't sleep. I want to read this. I read this in a book, and it says this. He put Daniel in the lion's den, and Daniel went to sleep on one of the lions. And Darius went back to his palace, and he couldn't get one wink. And while Daniel slept like a lamb, even though he was being watched over by the lions, Darius tossed and turned and didn't eat. He couldn't sleep, and he was counting the minutes until sunrise. The king wanted sleep, but couldn't. The lions wanted to eat, but couldn't. And it says that Daniel could sleep. I'm not sure if this is all true, but that part's true. But think about this. You have these lions. Can you put that picture up? The first picture of the lion. This is a picture. Keep on this picture for a second. I had this amazing privilege of going on a safari 6 years ago in Tanzania. And we were doing some missions work, and the last day we actually spent the night in the safari. Crazy story, but we could hear the animals. And we were asking our driver, we would have these vehicles that could drive around a safari, and we asked our driver, is there any chance we could see a lion on? We saw zebras, we saw elephants, we saw tons of things. Is there any chance we could see a lion? He goes, oh, no lions. You know what I'm saying? It's just hard to find. They just literally just kind of, and I won't remember the second day in the safari, we were about ready to leave, and he says, we found a lion, and literally somebody from Africa found this lion, so we all started, I'm like, our hearts are pumping. Like, I'm not kidding you. Like, this is rush of a wild lion, and we drive up, and he goes, there it is, we couldn't even see it, and literally, all of a sudden, we saw it, and it was just like this, and as we drove up to it, this is how I took this picture, this is how it was sitting, so I'm like leaning out of the truck, just looking at it, and I'm feeling like overwhelmed, like I'm feeling like, and all of a sudden, I couldn't look at its paws and its face, and at that point, it stood up and walked away. And I'm literally freaking out. I'm in a vehicle, and I'm scared for my life almost. Like, I'm in awe, and I'm like, this thing can rip me limp. It was just, it carried this weight of, like, I was scared. Go to the next picture. And it walked around, and it went into this tree, and we couldn't find it. And so we parked here, and we looked over, and 10 feet away, we looked in this bush, and there is this lion just sitting there like this. I'm, like, freaking out. Like, you can just tell he's kind of hunting us a little bit, like, or just hiding, just irritated. But I won't ever forget the feeling of this lion, just the feeling I got when I'm in a vehicle. Like, I'm in a vehicle, and I'm going, this is exhilarating. This is watching it. And so I can't imagine that. But now imagine being Daniel and throwing in the den of lions. No vehicle, no protection, nothing. You got a hungry bunch of lions. Not just one, it says the mouths of lions. And then we get to this passage, Daniel 6, 19 through 23. You put this up there. It says, at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. The king, first person up. He's like, can't we sleep anyway? He runs down there. When he came near the den, he called out to Daniel in an anguished voice because he realized he's probably dead. He's probably saying, Daniel, servant of the living God. He's acknowledging not just Daniel, but this God. He's saying, Daniel, has your God whom you serve continually been able to rescue you from the lions? Can you just imagine that pause and going, is this it? And then out of darkness you hear, Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. they have not hurt me because I have found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he trusted in his God. Think about this. When they pulled Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fire, there was no smoke, no burnt, nothing. When they pulled Daniel out of the den, there was nothing. So point number one I want to say is this. Number one is Daniel had peace. Daniel had faith in the darkness, even though the king didn't. Because the king didn't know that God. The king had sleepless nights because he didn't know this God. But Daniel had peace. So here's my thought for you. If you don't decide to honor God in the light of day, your faith will never hold up in the dark of night. Who are you? The question is, Daniel knew who he was. Who are we? Who are we as believers? Who is our God? It's a big question. Who do we serve? And when we serve him, I love this because it says Daniel served him continually. We're going to talk about this next week. Served him continually, no matter what trial, tribulation, served him continually. Daniel spent time with the Lord in his decisions, and he trusted the Lord, which I think is pretty awesome. So he had peace, because peace is not just found in a situation. Peace is found in Jesus, amen? And this is what begins to happen. Number two is this, and this is what I want to hit on today. I love this thought because it says that God fought for Daniel. God sent an angel to shut the mouth of the lions. I want you to understand this. We're in Daniel chapter 6, and up to this point, there's 153 verses in Daniel that describes a lot of stuff. Describes the fire, describes all these stories, all these illustrations, all these things. But the only thing Daniel said about the lion's den was it said that God sent angels to shut their mouth. The reason I think that is really, really interesting is because I can tell you right now, if I was thrown in a lion's den and I was about ready to be mauled by a bunch of lions and I was about ready to be cat food, and all of a sudden God sent an angel to protect me, and I slept through the night in a lion's den, and I woke up unscathed, wouldn't you be saying more than what Daniel just said? Think about that for 1 second. We have testimony time, and we just share. This is what God has done. And it dawns on me, like, he could have wrote more. Like, I was thrown in there. As soon as I was thrown in there, that came at me, but they couldn't come get me. I saw an angel, and he held his hands open, and then he started yelling at the lions. And then I got really bored, and I knew they couldn't attack me, so I started punching the lions in the face. I don't know what happened. Think about that for a second. And then I started making fun of them, and then I got really tired, so I didn't have a pillow, so I put my head on a lion's stomach, and I just fell asleep. I don't know what happened. I literally don't know what happened in there, except for God. He said, God delivered me. Really? When I get to heaven, I'm just going to say, Daniel, explain this story, what happened in the lion's den, because this is like crazy. We heard about the fire, but what happened in there? Part of me says, not a lot happened. Maybe he threw in there, angel came down and said, I'm going to hold him open, just go to sleep. Maybe it was boring. Maybe the fact that was the greatest miracle, that nothing happened. I don't know what happened. All I said no is this. I love it that right away, as soon as he got out, he gave attention to God and said, God sent an angel to hold back the lions from hurting me. I didn't do anything. And why is that a big deal? Because it wasn't Daniel's strength that saved him. It was God who sent and fought that battle for Daniel. That's the testimony. The testimony is God said, I'm going to show up. And now am I going to show up? I'm going to send somebody to help you. Here's what I love about this. It says in Scripture that Samson, strong Samson, was able to rip apart a lion with his bare hands. Anybody hear that story this past month about the guy that was hiking in the Colorado mountains and literally got attacked by a mountain lion, and he was being attacked, and he killed the mountain lion with his bare hands? Anybody else hear the story? Crazy. Crazy. He literally strangled it to death, and he killed a mountain lion, and he hiked out. Like, that guy is... He should be in UFC. That guy is crazy. Like, for the rest of your life, you're like, he can wear anything he wants to, but that guy's the man. The rest of his life. Like, that's what I'm thinking about. Like, in this, I'm going, here's Samson, who, like, ripped apart a lion with his bare hands. Then you get small David. It says that God gave him strength to kill a bear and a lion before he killed Goliath. And you think, man, that's awesome. God's going to give me the strength to kill the bear and the lion. God's going to give me the strength to kill Goliath. And then he says, God gave Samson the strength. But you know what? God didn't give Daniel the strength to kill a lion. Hear me out on this. There was no power Daniel had. That's why I don't think he came out and bragged about it. Because all he could do is brag about God. What happened? God delivered me. I might have taken a nap, actually. I don't even know what happened. Can I just tell you this right now? God fought for Daniel. Daniel needed to trust and surrender, and God fought. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Daniel knew these verses. 3:21 says this. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you, and you should hold your peace. 2 Chronicles. I just put this in there because I love it. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Syria, nor before all the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. And with him is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. There's a story about a Sunday school teacher who once asked her class why Daniel wasn't afraid when he was thrown into the lion's den. She just says, why wasn't Daniel afraid? And the little girl spoke up. And here's her spiritual amazing response. She said, because the lion of the tribe of Judah was in there with them. It's amazing in scripture that they call him the lion of Judah, the Lord. The lion of Judah. Can you put that video on the screen? I watched this video. It's a video taken from Japan. Just watch this quick. Doesn't it just do something to you? Like, imagine you're at a zoo. This little kid in Japan was watching, like, literally curious about this lion, just watching. This is what we do. We just watch this lion. And all of a sudden, as he's watching, the lion doesn't know and just starts to pounce this little kid. Just pounce. I want to leave this up there for, keep this video up there for a second, because I want to, this is, to us, I believe this is one of the greatest illustrations of what God happens in our life. I believe there's a moment, Joel can attest this, Alicia can attest this, in that court case on Tuesday. What is it, 3.5 hours long? 3.5 hours long. Watching, here's what I saw. I saw Joel chained up. And as this is proceeding, I went in there with a lot of hope. And can I tell you, at the 2.5 hour to 3 hour mark, I'm not saying my faith was gone, but I was feeling like this is not going the right direction really fast. And I almost felt like I had this picture in my head of the lion about ready to pounce. I just feel like crawling, like, we're going to get Joel again. We're going to get Joel again. We're going to get Joel again. I'm going, ugh. And it's almost like all of a sudden the judge starts talking. And when he starts talking, I'm going, oh, here we go. And he's just heavy, hard. And as he begins to speak, you can just see things fall off. It's like chains were falling off. And I'm going, and it's almost like as this lion was pouncing, it's almost like God said, it's over. And the judge looked at Joel and said, all right, you're going home today. And I went, what? And can I just tell you how many times in our life have we been in a situation that we feel like the enemy is just about ready to take us out? Some people have addictions and stuff and issues with the bottle, or maybe it's issues with mental stuff, or maybe it's issues with your marriage or your kids, or maybe these are just different issues going on, or maybe it's insecurities, maybe it's over your head with debt, or maybe it's just friendships, or maybe it's, you know what I'm saying, it's just debt on houses or whatever. And some, listen, I believe sometimes we put ourselves in situations. Now listen, we also need to fight ourselves. When I say the Lord fights for us, we need to fight. I'm not saying you just sit there and do nothing. You know what I'm saying? Daniel was in the lion's den because he did something. But when you trust the Lord and you've done everything you can do and you feel like your world is crashing down and you can even sense the enemy is close and you're about ready to be pounced on, what I love this video is this little kid had no clue what was going on. And all of a sudden, this enemy started coming. And right as it attacked, it's like hit a wall. And they couldn't attack. And God says, listen, I stopped that. You know what makes me wonder? Have you ever thought about, because we say all the time, why does God allow this to happen? Why does God allow this to happen? Why does God allow this to happen? Can I ask you a question? Have you ever thought about how many things could have happened, but God said, not today. Not on this guy, not on this girl, not today. Because this little boy had no clue and just kind of, until the line is over, he's like, oh, that was crazy. And I wonder how many times in our life we just kind of look at the line, look at the scene, kind of walk away, line attacks, Lord protects us, and we didn't even know that Lord was fighting for us, and we just kind of walked away going, oh, I didn't even know that even happened. We just kind of go, and it's not bad. Listen, it's not bad, but it makes me wonder how many times the Lord has intervened and fought your battles for you without you even knowing he was fighting battles for you. I'm not saying you should never defend yourself, but can I tell you something? Over and over again in the life of David, God was telling him, I will fight for you. You don't need to go defend yourself because I will defend it for you. You trust me, you live upright, you step, you have faith, and I will fight your battles for you. And I love it because he says, the battle belongs to the Lord because he's the one who's going to overcome. Everybody stand up this morning if you can. I'm going to read this portion. Worship team can come up here, and we're going to close this thing off. It says, God you serve. Everybody just close your eyes, bow your heads. I just want to read this out loud. I want this to soak into you. The God you serve is an overcoming God. There aren't any lions in your life that he can't defeat. There aren't any wild beasts that you face, whether it's in your temper, in your background, in your situation, at home, at work, that's too much for your God. He is able to do above and beyond all that you ask and think. And let me tell you this, if God can shut the mouths of hungry lions and preserve the prophet, which we know he did, he is capable of caring for every need that you have. Overwhelmed with life, and sometimes you don't feel like an overcomer, but sometimes you feel like you're down and under your circumstances. I'm here to tell you that God we celebrate is here for you. When you walk with God, God walks with you. He never turns his back on you. He never leaves you. And even when you think you're in the most difficult situation, if you just hold on for a moment, you'll see your God when you turn to him. He'll show up. Somebody once told me that when God shows up, he not only shows up, but he shows off. And when he shows off, he takes care of the problems that need to be taken care of. So sometimes when we feel like when we are down to nothing, hear me out, church. God is up to something.